The following is a presentation of the Houston Texans.
The Houston Texans traveled to Baltimore looking for their first ever win at M&T Stadium. The Texans start strong.
Foster running to the right across the 15, the 10, and he's down inside the 10 at the 8-yard line.
First and goal.
Then the tide turns in a big way.
Schaub gets the snap, throws underneath, picked off. Darryl Smith, touchdown. A pick six.
And the Ravens were too strong to allow another Texans comeback.
Flacco gives to Pierce, running left, he's in. Touchdown, Baltimore.
Tonight, we start the breakdown where the game broke down, the Texans' offense. And the ninja assassin, Antonio Smith, explains why the Texans' defense couldn't stop Joe Flacco. D-plus Spencer takes issue with the Texans' offensive line. Man, it's some kind of ugly on Houston Texans Inside the Game.
Inside the Game, brought to you by Reliant. Welcome to Reliant. How can we help you? And by Houston Methodist, official healthcare provider for the Houston Texans.
Not this time. Texans couldn't pull it off. Their third comeback of the early season falls way, way short. Once the Ravens took the lead, they never let the Texans back in. And good evening, everybody. I'm Greg Bailey. It is a rough ride in Baltimore. The Ravens made plays while the Texans stockpiled penalties, tying a franchise record in the process. Perhaps the most telling problem of it all, the Ravens hammered away and the Texans didn't have an answer for that up front. When plays needed to be made, Baltimore's offensive line, their defensive line, they won the battles up front. Texans converted only a quarter of their third down tries while the Ravens convert half of theirs after a slow start. Joining me, as always, Spencer Tillman. Great to see you, even under these circumstances. Texans have issues and miscues. We're going to dig into that, but you know the story from last year. The Texans really hammered the Ravens at Reliant Stadium. Yep. Baltimore got it fixed late in the season. They go on to win the Super Bowl. So where does Gary Kubiak and his staff start with this Texans?
Well, you got to be positive, Greg. The first thing you say, it's early, guys, but you do have to be introspective and look at it, because the first couple of seasons, for this season, it's been defined by close games, right? I think 22 of the games were defined or decided by 7 points or less. That was really important. So you get this mindset and the thinking that we can come from behind, we can still win this one. But when you get blown out the way that they did today, it does certainly make you take a look at where you are. So he's got to challenge his team a little bit. They've got to get more physical, and they've got to be ready to focus for this Seattle team, because they're going to be tough.
You want to talk about physical. We'll get to the Seahawks a little bit later. Well, we'll take you through the first half. It is so great to see Ed Reed back on the field. He got a great welcome in Baltimore. Opening drive, 3rd and 5, Matt Schaub to Andre Johnson for a gain of 10. Texans looked sharp early. Later in that drive, Arian Foster gains 10 more, so you got nice balance on the ground through the air, but the drive stalls on track from 27 yards out. 3-0 late first quarter. Well, Arian Foster again, darting, dodging, the way he makes yards, square those shoulders up, a gain of 7. But another promising drive inside the 10 stalls. 3rd and 3, key play. Schaub to Andre. You actually lose a yard, so the Texans again settle for a Randy Bullock kick, and it is 6-0. Spitz, Shane Leckler with a nice adjustment on the hold.
Well, he does an excellent job. You know, they tell us in the business, they don't pay you for what you do, they pay you for what you may have to do. Seating this ball, getting those laces turned around in real time, Greg, just an excellent job in allowing him to do away with the arc of that, because you don't want those laces on the arc of that foot. Just beautiful tactical effort right there, placing the ball.
Yeah, Leckler is a pro's pro. Texans defense really dominates early. 3rd and 33, Antonio Smith gets the sack, and he causes the Flacco fumble, but the Texans offense goes 3 and out. Next Ravens possession, Joe Flacco to Dallas Clark on 3rd and 9, starting to heat it up a little bit. Later, Flacco to Brandon Stokley, a couple of those veterans that they signed to fill in some of the gaps. That's another third down conversion. Ravens get a field goal, cut it to 6-3. Key sequence, final minutes of the half. Matt Schaub to Andre Johnson. At the end of this play, Josh Bynes, a landing on Andre's right knee, and Andre hobbled the rest of the day, sat out a lot of the second half. 2 plays later, Matt Schaub looking for Owen Daniels, but Darryl Smith said the film study told him it was coming. 37 yards on the pick six out of nowhere, 10-6 Ravens. Next Texans possession, Leckler with a booming punt, but Tandon Doss grabs it, and look at him go, 82 yards down the sideline for 6, and just like that, the Ravens lead it 17-6. Texans have just 45 seconds left on the clock to answer. Schaub connecting with DeAndre Hopkins, 2 big gains, 18 yards, now 16 yards, So you bring on Randy Bullock again, 47 yards on the field goal as time expires in the half. So it's 17-9 Ravens at the break. Texans give up all of 65 yards of offense in that first half, but they trail it by eight. That sequence, two plays, really changed this football game.
Yeah, again, the time of possession, a little bit misleading, Greg. And when you look at this team, they've got to find out exactly what happened to us internally. Was it a mindset? Was it the environment there with all of the things that were going on celebration-wise? They've got to check themselves inside to get to that next level.
Texans had over 12 minutes of possession in that first quarter.
Dominant.
And not much to show
you
for
bet.
It. Here we go on the second half. It starts for the Texans with a lot of defense. Who else but J.J. Watt? The sack highlighting a nine-tackle effort for J.J., but then the Ravens start to open it up. This is 3rd and 13. Got to get off the field. Instead, Flacco deep to Torrey Smith behind Jonathan Joseph. That is a gain of 48. On the same drive, 3rd and 7 again, Flacco to Smith for a gain of 24, getting past Bryce McCain on a crossing route this time. That'll set up Bernard Pierce from a yard out. The Ravens push it just like that to 24-9. Texans offense putting themselves in some tough, tough situations. Ben Tate losing 5 yards on the screen. That puts you behind the chain. So 3rd and 15, Schaub can't connect with Keyshawn Martin. Off his hand and incomplete. You'll see it again. Nice effort, but can't quite haul it in. Next Texans possession, Schaub is sacked by Arthur Jones. When the Ravens know you've got to throw it every down, you're in trouble. Last real chance, pick it up, 4th and 2. Pass to Arian Foster, but that is well diagnosed as well. Ravens run away to win it, 30-9. Matt Schaub completing 25 of 35, 194 yards, and the interception return for 6. Arian Foster, 12 carries, 54 yards. Ben Tate, 9 times for 36. DeAndre Hopkins leading the wideouts, 6 catches for 60 yards. Andre Johnson, limited duty, 5 for 36. Keyshawn Martin, 2 catches, 35 yards. David Nuno has more now from that Texans locker room.
Well, no comebacks in this one. The Texans started with all the momentum in the world, but could not capitalize on it, and it cost them.
You know, we settled for some field goals, but we were in a tough, hard-nosed game against a good opponent in their house, and you know, had to settle for some field goals, you know, when we had some good field position and we were moving the football, but, you know, we just got to be better in those critical situations.
You know, you feel frustrated. You come up here on the road, a big game, and you can't have performance like that. We need to regroup.
I hope, if anything, it's a wake-up call to, you know, get our butts going, playing better football, playing nowhere near our best football, and it's catching up with us.
The turning point, Matt Schaub's pick 6, followed by a punt return for a touchdown.
Poor decision on my part. Got to be better in that situation, especially late in the half. You know, given the type of game we're in, got to be better.
You know, it's disappointing. You know, we gave up, you know, 14 points there in about a minute and a half, it felt like, and they definitely had the momentum going to halftime, but... You know, it's just one of those things.
Well, you know, back to it. It's a game of momentum. I mean, 14 points in, what, 30 seconds? Something like that happens. It's tough to come back from. You know, I mean, you did the last 2 weeks and just weren't able to overcome it this week.
And on top of those mistakes, the penalties. 14, which is a franchise record.
We need to be a lot more disciplined in what we're doing. I think everyone would do our least. We gotta eliminate those stuff, because those type of things. It's hurting us. It's hurt us the first 2 weeks, and we got away with it. And we weren't able to today.
Defensively, the Texans were stout early on, but Baltimore was able to stretch them out as the game wore on.
From a defensive perspective, we need to get the ball. We need to take the ball away. We need to give it back to our offense. And so far this whole season, we haven't done that. I mean, we need to get the ball back. We need to force turnovers. We need to create takeaways.
One of the storylines coming into this game was about Ed Reed's debut and Andre Johnson's return from a concussion last week. But that was short-lived after he injured his shin.
Couldn't play the way I wanted to play. So went back and forth with the coaches. You know, I just kept saying I was all right, but you know, they felt the best thing to do was just sit it out, because we still have a long season ahead of us. So
Terrell Suggs made a comment to me, you know, and I know the guy's a weirdo. You know, he made a comment about, you know, me coming back trying to play this game and make interceptions, you know, and trying to rain on the parade, sort of saying that wasn't the case.
For Inside the Game, I'm David Nunez.
Time to go inside the headset with Greg Bailey and head coach Gary Kubiak.
Just the disappointment and how things got away from you so quickly, that kind of stood out to me after the game.
Yeah, it's amazing in this league with sequence we give them 14 points, and just can't do that. We knew we'd have to play clean to come in here and win. We not only did we not play clean, we played sloppy. You know, 14 penalties is not going to beat anybody, so we got some corrections to make.
What do you tell your team about that many penalties in one game?
Well, first off, I take responsibility for that. I'm the coach, and we got to have some discipline, so got to find a way to block people without holding and stay on sides. And we'll get that corrected. And, I mean, we got to have discipline when we play.
You gave up 65 yards in the first half, and then they came out and really attacked you deep. What kind of changed there in the second half?
Yeah, we didn't play well defensively in the second half. We gave up some big plays. We were sloppy penalty-wise, gave some free yardage. But it was a group effort today. We got beat across the board. You know, we got to be man enough to correct our mistakes, and we got a big game to get ready for next week.
Andre sounds like a precaution. Am I reading too much into that by keeping him out?
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, like I said, the x-ray at halftime was fine. You know, obviously you go back and look at these things again, so we'll see when we get home. But after I watched him the first play, I knew, you know, he wasn't going to be able to run in the second half, so it's a long season. I'm trying to be smart.
Get you out of here on this one. What do you go back to kind of get your team back on track?
Well, first thing we got to go back to is our discipline. And, you know, you got to make somebody beat you in this league. You know, you can't beat yourself. And but we've tried to beat ourselves 3 weeks in a row right now. We survived a couple of times, so we got to correct ourselves.
Gary, thanks for your time.
Okay. All right.
Thank you. All right, Spence, we're going to start with this. Matt Schaub will be the first to tell you, you have to protect the football. We got three games, three interceptions, two of those returned for touchdowns. Mm-hmm. What's not clicking on these interceptions?
Well, I think the first thing that comes to mind is decision-making, being able to discern the coverage, the linebackers, and what they're doing. As you pointed out so well in your notes earlier, the linebackers study film, and they can understand when you're running that arrow route and when you're locked in on it. Again, the pressure there, I'm going to unpack that play coming up in the cold, hard facts. Newton's having a very tough time at that tackle spot when he gets on an Ivan. So, again, the pressure there. Now, let's not forget this, Greg, this pass rush unit of the Ravens, probably the best right now, maybe withstanding Seattle in the National Football League. So they will put pressure on you. Suggs and company, they're pretty good. And remember, Terrence Cody and some of those other guys, Natai, were not even in there. I dare say they could actually be better than they are today.
That's a scary
that
thought.
That is a scary
that
thought.
Group gets after you. Mm-hmm. After two great games in the red zone, they convert every opportunity to the Texans.
Yeah.
Today they really struggle, and that makes such a difference on the scoreboard. What were they missing in the red zone?
Greg, it was such a polar opposite. Remember, they were perfect coming in the red zone. 7 for 7, and today to disappear the way that they did, it kind of showed you something. And the guy that you go to, Arian Foster, typically in those situations, was not there and able to get the kind of yardage that he has historically when you get to the red area. To me, you have to go in with the mindset. Gary alluded to it, the discipline. When you get in there, penetration will absolutely kill these tight plays. The field is constricted and reduced, so the margin for errors are lessened as well. Matt has got to understand that again. The coverage is extremely tight, so again, the margin for mistakes becomes a premium when you get into the red area. So the Texans have got to know that, do away with that penetration up front, and that's more a function of what they're doing or not doing with respect to that offensive line. And here again, number 80 doesn't bobble that typically, but you got to be able to do it because that coverage is going to be closing in on you particularly fast. So that's one thing that they've got to do. If they do that collectively, I think they'll be in a better position to have better results.
I know that offensive line will get a lot of attention this week. You can tell talking to Gary Kubiak. On defense, Texans dominant the first two games. They forced 12 three and outs, which is almost unheard of in the National Football League. Today, they allow 8 of 16 conversions on third down, and that comes after they were so dominant early in this game.
Isn't that disappointing? Yeah. Look, you got it here, Greg. You got man coverage. Everybody's locked up man here, but we got what we call a man-free look. Right back here in the middle is Daniel Manning. He's sitting right here, okay? Here's where J. Joe gets probably a little bit sleepy, in my opinion. He's playing loose coverage. He knows he has help over the top, but somehow the receiver gets behind him on that back play, and then watch exactly what happens on the play. Flacco's looking front side. He eventually comes back. Again, the bell technique fails him there. J. Joe, the receiver, gets behind him, and all of a sudden you're behind the coverage, and you got a big play in your hand. So the Texans have got to do a better job of shoring that up. Unfortunately, as you said, they did it too many times in those critical third down scenarios here. Better tackling is got to be part of that solution as well. Again, this guy was early and often. McCain here trying to make a play underneath. Maybe a guy comes across his face, but you got to make sure tackles, and that's really the key. So not only just that one, but watch here on the back end of that, another missed tackle. Too many of those for the Texans. If you're going to play man coverage, which is what this 3-4 scheme will demand of you, you've got to be able to make sure tackles.
Very quick silver lining.
Yep.
Shane Leckler putting on another punting clinic. How does this work change the focus and the ability of the Texans defense to make plays?
Well, I say this. Look, when you're going to get get in those close games, as I alluded to earlier, that define the first 2 weeks of the season, 22 games decided by 7 points or less, this guy is going to make the difference. But you have to play consistently that way. Now, he's doing a fine job, but the defense has got to do their job. The offense has got to do their job. That's really the key.
Yeah, he is special. Any
good?
He is fun to watch. All right, we are one-on-one with defensive end Antonio Smith when Inside the Game continues.
That is a fumble all the way. I think
Antonio Smith did
knocked
get it
out.
From behind.
Thanks for taking a minute with us, man. How did this thing slip away so quickly from you guys?
All I can see, you know, from watching the game from the sidelines is we got to get turnovers, you know.
Okay.
That as long as we stay negative in the turnovers, you know, it gives the team, you know, an upper hand on us.
Things started so brilliantly. I think you allowed them 65 yards of offense in the first half. What did you guys do right as a unit during that stretch?
We was just playing consistent football, you know. We was playing within the framework of the defense, and things was going good for you. But, you know, all that takes is to get down in points, and people don't know how much that changes it, how much it changes what a team can do. Now they can take chances. They can take chances down the field. They can do different things, you know, to start moving the ball and, they make plays.
Could you feel it? They get the interception return and the punt return. Can you feel how much the game changed at that moment?
Yeah, I mean, you can feel it just in the same way, you know, a big play changes the game for us. You know, they got some juice after then, you know. They start making more plays after then. You know, it wasn't just a battle back and forth, which I thought it was going to be, you know, a close game until the end of the game, and then one team pulls it out. You know, but instead, you know, they made a couple key plays that, you know, extended drives and got them to get up on us in points. And then when you do that, man, it's hard to come back.
Everybody's really disappointed in the number of penalties. Gary talked about focus, talked about discipline. What went wrong there?
I can tell you exactly what went wrong. Most of the penalties that we had, you know, came in the second half of the game. You try to start trying to do things extra, you know, to make plays, try to jump counts, you know, so you can cause something big to happen so you can turn the momentum over on that. And Ed Reed has said something to me on the sideline that was absolutely true, is you can't press.
Okay.
So no matter what, just stick to the plan. You can't press. You know, when you press nine times out of more times than not, bad things are going to happen other than good things.
And where do you go kind of to get back to playing the kind of football you know that you can as a defense and as a team against Seattle next week, Tom?
Man, you just got to focus in and do what we do. I think that our defense is good. We just got to get turnovers. We got to get turnovers. And as far as the penalties, you know, that's a learning experience. You know, it shows you that when you do press, you try to do extra, you know, you try to go and make big plays, you know, it causes you to cause negative plays for your team. So you just got to keep believing that we got this, you know, we got this, and just stay playing consistent defensive football.
I know it's a rough day. We appreciate your time.
Thank you all for having me.
Thank you.
What I love about Antonio Smith there, no panic, no excuses, just go back to work and play Texans football. Spencer has some cold, hard facts on the Texans' offensive line when Inside the Game continues.
Now it's time for the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts. Coors, cold as the Rockies.
All right, Spencer, shoot us straight here. Why does the Texans offense struggle to move the ball against that Ravens defense?
Oh, Greg, you know it's so cliche, but it's true. You know, big games tend to be lost, not won. And let's start right now. Plenty of blame to go around on the offensive line. Here's Derek Newton here in his tackle spot, Terrell Suggs, down in a four-point stand. I'm going to put this in motion, and I want you to watch what happens when we get him put on what we call an island. The ball's in motion. Once it's snapped, once he goes upfield, look at where he is right now. Look at the island. The space for Suggs to go is here, or he can go here. Eventually, when I clear this out, you'll see the feet come together for Newton. He is losing his base at that particular point in time. When he loses his base, he has no ability to defend and stop the guy from getting inside. And the spin move, inside, he gets to the quarterback, and that pressure was there early and often all day. But again, as I said, there's plenty of blame to go around. Matt Schaub had a very difficult time, some poor reads right here. Here's an example of a poor read. This inside linebacker has studied tape, and he knows they like to run this little arrow route here or Texas route and come back underneath it. When I put it in motion, you're going to see Matt eyeball number 81, Owen Daniels here as he comes back. But that linebacker has got his eyes set on it, and he jumps the route. I'd like to think there's an alternative that you can do here. When you see him bite, if you're Owen Daniels, take it over the top, because this route is moving him out, and you're clearing him out here. Take it over the top of him and have that option. But that's something the Texans have got to work out. If you don't, this happens right here. Watch the play. He jumps it, sits on it, and all of a sudden you're headed. It's a pick six, and you're in a very difficult situation. So, again, plenty of blame to go around, not just the offensive line. The quarterback has to bear some of that as well. And, again, let's go back to the offensive line here, go way up here, and this is Wade Smith. He's working here in tandem with Chris Myers. I'm just going to put it in motion and let this thing go for you. You can see that they double-team this and tag it, but he comes off of it and gets turned sideways, and all of a sudden, he's in the backfield and making another play on your quarterback. So, again, a lot of blame to go around, a lot of skill, a lot of passion that comes to bear, but passion and skill is no substitute for making big plays when it matters most. Greg?
The Injury Report is brought to you by Houston Methodist, the official healthcare provider of the Houston Texans.
Andre Johnson took the shot to the knee and the shin, did not return. We will know more about his status coming up tomorrow. Dwayne Brown didn't travel with the sprained toe. Ed Reed, Wade Smith, and Garrett Graham did play despite some limited practice time. You can always get more injury information at HoustonTexans.com. We'll look ahead to another rough test against the unbeaten Seattle Seahawks when Inside the Game continues.
Inside the Game has been brought to you by your local Ford dealers, official trucks of the Houston Texans, and by Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network.
All right, Spence, doesn't get any easier next Sunday. The good news for the Texans is you don't have to go to Seattle to face the Seahawks.
Yeah, but Greg, I don't think it matters where you play. And Russell Wilson today in 2.5 quarters set a career high, 4 touchdown passes today. We know about their defense. He's got Rice and all those receivers to throw to. They're going to be tough no matter where you're playing.
And they're going to come up and get in your face.
Yes, sir.
Those quarterbacks are really, really good. All right, we'll be back next Sunday. Complete breakdown, Texans and the Seahawks. We look forward to that. Don't forget, tomorrow morning at 8, Matt Shaw visits the game on Texans Radio, Houston Radio 610. For David Nuno, Spencer Tillman, I'm Greg Bailey. Have a great night.
The following is a presentation of the Houston Texans.
The Houston Texans traveled to Baltimore looking for their first ever win at M&T Stadium. The Texans start strong.
Foster running to the right across the 15, the 10, and he's down inside the 10 at the 8-yard line.
First and goal.
Then the tide turns in a big way.
Schaub gets the snap, throws underneath, picked off. Darryl Smith, touchdown. A pick six.
And the Ravens were too strong to allow another Texans comeback.
Flacco gives to Pierce. Running left, he's in. Touchdown, Baltimore.
Tonight, we start the breakdown where the game broke down, the Texans' offense. And the Ninja Assassin, Antonio Smith, explains why the Texans' defense couldn't stop Joe Flacco. Plus, Spencer takes issue with the Texans' offensive line. Man, it's some kind of ugly on Houston Texans Inside the Game.
Inside the Game. Brought to you by Reliant. Welcome to Reliant. How can we help you? And by Houston Methodist, official healthcare provider for the Houston Texans.
Not this time. Texans couldn't pull it off. Their third comeback of the early season falls way, way short. Once the Ravens took the lead, they never let the Texans back in. And good evening, everybody. I'm Greg Bailey. It is a rough ride in Baltimore. The Ravens made plays while the Texans stockpiled penalties, tying a franchise record in the process. Perhaps the most telling problem of it all, the Ravens hammered away and the Texans didn't have an answer for that up front. When plays needed to be made, Baltimore's offensive line, their defensive line, they won the battles up front. Texans converted only a quarter of their third down tries while the Ravens convert half of theirs after a slow start. Joining me, as always, Spencer Tillman. Great to see you, even under these circumstances. Texans have issues and miscues. We're going to dig into that, but you know the story from last year. The Texans really hammered the Ravens at Reliance Stadium. Yep. Baltimore got it fixed late in the season. They go on to win the Super Bowl. So where does Gary Kubiak and his staff start with this Texans
team? Well, you got to be positive, Greg. The first thing you say, it's early, guys, but you do have to be introspective and look at it, because the first couple of seasons, for this season, it's been defined by close games, right? I think 22 of the games were defined or decided by 7 points or less. That was really important. So you get this mindset and the thinking that we can come from behind, we can still win this one. But when you get blown out the way that they did today, it does certainly make you take a look at where you are. So he's got to challenge his team a little bit. They've got to get more physical, and they've got to be ready to focus for this Seattle team because they're going to be tough.
You want to talk about physical? We'll
you
get
bet.
To the Seahawks a little bit later. Well, we take you through the first half. It is so great to see Ed Reed back on the field. He got a great welcome in Baltimore. Opening drive, 3rd and 5. Matt Schaub to Andre Johnson for a gain of 10. Texans look sharp early. Later in that drive, Arian Foster gains 10 more. So you got nice balance on the ground through the air, but the drive stalls on track from 27 yards out. 3-0 late first quarter. Well, Arian Foster again, darting, dodging, the way he makes yards, square those shoulders up, a gain of 7. But another promising drive inside the 10 stalls. 3rd and 3, key play. Schaub to Andre. You actually lose a yard. So the Texans again settle for a Randy Bullock kick, and it is 6-0. Spence, Shane Leckler with a nice adjustment on the hold.
Well, he does an excellent job. You know, they tell us in the business, they don't pay you for what you do. They pay you for what you may have to do. Seeding this ball, getting those laces turned around in real time, Greg, just an excellent job in allowing him to do away with the arc of that, because you don't want those laces on the arc of that foot. Just beautiful tactical effort right there. Placing the ball.
Yeah, Leckler is a pro's pro. Texans defense really dominates early. 3rd and 33. Antonio Smith gets the sack and he causes the Flacco fumble, but the Texans offense goes 3 and out. Next Ravens possession, Joe Flacco to Dallas Clark on 3rd and 9, starting to heat it up a little bit. Later, Flacco to Brandon Stokely, a couple of those veterans that they signed to fill in some of the gaps. That's another 3rd down conversion. Ravens get a field goal, cut it to 6-3. Key sequence, final minutes of the half. Matt Schaub to Andre Johnson. At the end of this play, Josh Bynes, a landing on Andre's right knee, and Andre hobbled the rest of the day, sat out a lot of the second half. 2 plays later, Matt Schaub looking for Owen Daniels, but Daryl Smith said the film study told him it was coming. 37 yards on the pick six out of nowhere, 10-6 Ravens. Next Texans possession, Leckler with a booming punt, but Tandon Doss grabs it, and look at him go, 82 yards down the sideline for 6, and just like that, the Ravens lead it 17-6. Texans have just 45 seconds left on the clock to answer. Schaub connecting with DeAndre Hopkins. 2 big gains. 18 yards, now 16 yards. So you bring on Randy Bullock again. 47 yards on the field goal as time expires in the half. So it's 17-9 Ravens at the break. Texans give up all of 65 yards of offense in that first half, but they trail it by 8. That sequence, 2 plays, really changed this football game.
Yeah, again, the time of possession, a little bit misleading, Greg. And when you look at this team, they've got to find out exactly what happened to us internally. Was it a mindset? Was it the environment there with all of the things that were going on celebration-wise? They've got to check themselves inside to get to that next level.
Texans had over 12 minutes of possession in that first quarter.
Dominant.
And not much to show
you
for
bet.
It. Here we go in the second half. It starts for the Texans with a lot of defense. Who else but J.J. Watt? The sack highlighting a 9-tackle effort for J.J., but then the Ravens start to open it up. This is 3rd and 13, got to get off the field. Instead, Flacco deep to Torrey Smith behind Jonathan Joseph. That is a gain of 48. On the same drive, 3rd and 7 again, Flacco to Smith for a gain of 24, getting past Bryce McCain on a crossing route this time. That'll set up Bernard Pierce from a yard out. The Ravens push it just like that to 24-9. Texans offense putting themselves in some tough, tough situations. Ben Tate losing 5 yards on the screen. That puts you behind the chain. So 3rd and 15, Schaub can't connect with Keyshawn Martin. Off his hand and incomplete. You'll see it again. Nice effort, but can't quite haul it in. Next Texans possession, Schaub is sacked by Arthur Jones. When the Ravens know you've got to throw it every down, you're in trouble. Last real chance, pick it up, 4th and 2. Pass to Arian Foster, but that is well diagnosed as well. Ravens run away to win it, 30-9. Matt Schaub completing 25 of 35, 194 yards, and the interception return for 6. Arian Foster, 12 carries, 54 yards. Ben Tate, 9 times for 36. DeAndre Hopkins leading the wideouts, 6 catches for 60 yards. Andre Johnson, limited duty, 5 for 36. Keyshawn Martin, 2 catches, 35 yards. David Nuno has more now from that Texans locker room.
Well, no comebacks in this one. The Texans started with all the momentum in the world, but could not capitalize on it, and it cost them.
You know, we settled for some field goals, but we were in a tough, hard-nosed game against a good opponent in their house, and you know, had to settle for some field goals, you know, when we had some good field position and we were moving the football, but, you know, we just got to be better in those critical situations.
You know, you feel frustrated. You come up here on the road, a big game, and you can't have performance like that. We need to regroup.
I hope, if anything, it's a wake-up call to, you know, get our bus going, playing better football, playing nowhere near our best football, and it's catching up with us.
The turning point, Matt Schaub's pick six, followed by a punt return for a touchdown.
Poor decision on my part. Got to be better in that situation, especially late in the half. You know, given the type of game we're in, got to be better.
You know, it's disappointing. You know, we gave up, you know, 14 points there in about a minute and a half, it felt like, and they definitely had the momentum going to halftime, but... You know, it's just one of those things.
Well, you know, back to it, it's a game of momentum. I mean, 14 points in, what, 30 seconds? Something like that happens. It's tough to come back from. You know, I mean, you did the last 2 weeks and just weren't able to overcome it this week.
And on top of those mistakes, the penalties. 14, which is a franchise record.
We need to be a lot more disciplined in what we're doing. I think everyone would do our least. We gotta eliminate those stuff because that, those type of things is it's hurting us. It's hurt us the first 2 weeks, and we got away with it. And we weren't able to do that.
Defensively, the Texans were stout early on, but Baltimore was able to stretch them out as the game wore on.
From a defensive perspective, we need to get the ball. We need to take the ball away. We need to give it back to our offense. And so far this whole season, we haven't done that. I mean, we need to get the ball back. We need to force turnovers. We need to create takeaways.
One of the storylines coming into this game was about Ed Reed's debut and Andre Johnson's return from a concussion last week. But that was short-lived after he injured his shin.
Couldn't play the way I wanted to play. So I went back and forth with the coaches. You know, I just kept saying I was all right, but you know, they felt the best thing to do was just sit it out, because we still have a long season ahead of us. So.
Terrell Suggs made a comment to me, you know, and I know the guy's a weirdo. You know, he made a comment about, you know, me coming back trying to play this game and make interceptions, you know, and trying to rain on the parade, sort of saying that wasn't the case.
For Inside the Game, I'm David Nunez.
Time to go inside the headset with Greg Bailey and head coach Gary Kubiak.
Just the disappointment and how things got away from you so quickly, that kind of stood out to me after the game.
Yeah, it's amazing in this league, with the sequence we give them 14 points, and just can't do that. We knew we'd have to play clean to come in here and win. Not only did we not play clean, we played sloppy. You know, 14 penalties is not going to beat anybody, so we got some corrections to make.
What do you tell your team about that many penalties in one game?
Well, first off, I take responsibility for that. I'm the coach, and we got to have some discipline, so got to find a way to block people without holding and stay on side. And we'll get that corrected. I mean, we got to have discipline when we play.
You gave up 65 yards in the first half, and then they came out and really attacked you deep. What kind of changed there in the second half?
Yeah, we didn't play well defensively in the second half. We gave up some big plays. We were sloppy penalty-wise, gave some free yardage. But it was a group effort today. We got beat across the board. You know, we got to be man enough to correct our mistakes, and we got a big game to get ready for next week.
Andre sounds like a precaution. Am I reading too much into that by keeping him out?
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, like I said, the X-ray at halftime was fine. You know, obviously you go back and look at these things again, so we'll see when we get home. But after I watched him the first play, I knew, you know, he wasn't going to be able to run in the second half, so it's a long season. I'm trying to be smart.
Get you out of here on this one. Where do you go back to kind of get your team back on track?
Well, first thing we got to go back to is our discipline. And, you know, you got to make somebody beat you in this league. You know, you can't beat yourself. And but we've tried to beat ourselves 3 weeks in a row right now, and we survived a couple times. So we got to correct ourselves.
Gary, thanks for your time.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
All right, Spence, we're going to start with this. Matt Schaub will be the first to tell you, you have to protect the football. We got three games, three interceptions, two of those returned for touchdowns. What's not clicking on these interceptions?
Well, I think the first thing that comes to mind is decision-making, being able to discern the coverage, the linebackers, and what they're doing. As you pointed out so well in your notes earlier, the linebackers study film, and they can understand when you're running that arrow route and when you're locked in on it. Again, the pressure there, I'm going to unpack that play coming up in the cold, hard facts. Newton's having a very tough time at that tackle spot when he gets on an island. So, again, the pressure there. Now, let's not forget this Greg. This pass rush unit of the Ravens, probably the best right now, maybe withstanding Seattle, in the National Football League. So they will put pressure on you. Suggs and company, they're pretty good. And remember, Terrence Cody and some of those other guys, Natai, were not even in there. I dare say they could actually be better than they are today.
That's a scary thought.
That is a scary thought.
That group gets after you. After two great games in the red zone, they convert every opportunity to the Texans. Yeah. Today they really struggle, and that makes such a difference on the scoreboard. What were they missing in the red zone?
Greg, it was such a polar opposite. Remember, they were perfect coming in the red zone, 7-for-7. And today, to disappear the way that they did, it kind of showed you something. And the guy that you go to, Arian Foster, typically in those situations, was not there and able to get the kind of yardage that he has historically when you get to the red area. To me, you have to go in with the mindset. Gary alluded to it, the discipline. When you get in there, penetration will absolutely kill these tight plays. The field is constricted and reduced, so the margin for errors are lessened as well. Matt has got to understand that again. The coverage is extremely tight. So again, the margin for mistakes becomes a premium when you get into the red area. So the Texans have got to know that, do away with that penetration up front, and that's more a function of what they're doing or not doing with respect to that offensive line. And here again, number 80 doesn't bobble that typically, but you got to be able to do it because that coverage is going to be closing in on you particularly fast. So that's one thing that they've got to do. If they do that collectively, I think they'll be in a better position to have better results.
I know that offensive line will get a lot of attention this week. You can tell talking to Gary Kubiak. On defense, Texans dominant the first two games. They forced 12 three and outs, which is almost unheard of in the National Football League. Today, they allow 8 of 16 conversions on third down, and that comes after they were so dominant early in this game.
Isn't that disappointing? Yeah. Look, you got to hear Greg. You got man coverage. Everybody's locked up man here, but we got what we call a man-free look. Right back here in the middle is Daniel Manning. He's sitting right here, okay? Here's where J. Joe gets probably a little bit sleepy, in my opinion. He's playing loose coverage. He knows he has help over the top, but somehow the receiver gets behind him on that back play, and then watch exactly what happens on the play. Flacco's looking front side. He eventually comes back. Again, the bell technique fails him there. J. Joe, the receiver, gets behind him, and all of a sudden you're behind the coverage, and you got a big play in your hand. So the Texans have got to do a better job of shoring that up. Unfortunately, as you said, they did it too many times in those critical third down scenarios here. Better tackling is got to be part of that solution as well. Again, this guy was early and often. McCain here trying to make a play underneath. Maybe a guy comes across his face, but you got to make sure tackles, and that's really the key. So not only just that one, but watch here on the back end of that, another missed tackle. Too many of those for the Texans. If you're going to play man coverage, which is what this 3-4 scheme will demand of you, you've got to be able to make sure tackles.
Very quick silver lining. Yep. Shane Leckler putting on another punting clinic. How does this work change the focus and the ability of the Texans defense to make plays?
Well, I say this. Look, when you're going to get in those close games, as I alluded to earlier, that define the first 2 weeks of the season, 22 games decided by 7 points or less, this guy is going to make the difference. But you have to play consistently that way. Now, he's doing a fine job, but the defense has got to do their job. The offense has got to do their job. That's really the key.
Yeah, he is special.
Any good?
He is fun to watch. All right, we are one-on-one with defensive end Antonio Smith when Inside the Game continues.
That is a fumble all the way. I think
Antonio Smith did get it out. From behind.
Thanks for taking a minute with us, man. How did this thing slip away so quickly from you guys?
All I can see, you know, from watching the game from the sidelines is we got to get turnovers, you know. Okay. That as long as we stay negative in the turnovers, you know, it gives the team, an upper hand on us.
Things started so brilliantly. I think you allowed them 65 yards of offense in the first half. What did you guys do right as a unit during that stretch?
We was just playing consistent football, you know. We was playing within the framework of the defense, and things was going good for you. But, you know, all that takes is to get down in points, and people don't know how much that changes it, how much it changes what a team can do. Now they can take chances. They can take chances down the field. They can do different things, you know, to start moving the ball and make plays.
Could you feel it? They get the interception return and the punt return. Can you feel how much the game changed at that moment?
Yeah, I mean, you can feel it just in the same way, you know, a big play changes the game for us. You know, they got some juice after then, you know. They start making more plays after then. You know, it wasn't just a battle back and forth, which I thought it was going to be, you know, a close game until the end of the game, and then one team pulls it out, you know. But instead, you know, they made a couple key plays that, you know, extended drives and got them to get up on us in points. And then when you do that, man, it's hard to come back.
Everybody's really disappointed in the number of penalties. Gary talked about focus, talked about discipline. What went wrong there?
I can tell you exactly what went wrong. Most of the penalties that we had, you know, came in the second half of the game. You try to start trying to do things extra, you know, to make plays, try to jump counts, you know, so you can cause something big to happen so you can turn the momentum over on that. And Ed Reed has said something to me on the sideline that was absolutely true, is you can't press.
Okay.
So no matter what, just stick to the plan. You can't press. You know, when you press nine times out of more times than not, bad things are going to happen other than good things.
And where do you go kind of to get back to playing the kind of football you know that you can as a defense and as a team against Seattle next week, Tom?
Man, you just got to focus in and do what we do. I think that our defense is good. We just got to get turnovers. We got to get turnovers. And as far as the penalties, you know, that's a learning experience. You know, it shows you that when you do press, you try to do extra, you know, you try to go and make big plays, you know, it causes you to cause negative plays for your team. So you just got to keep believing that we got this, you know, we got this, and just stay playing consistent defensive football.
I know it's a rough day. We appreciate your time.
Thank you all for having me.
Thank you.
What I love about Antonio Smith there, no panic, no excuses, just go back to work and play Texans football. Spencer has some cold, hard facts on the Texans' offensive line when Inside the Game continues.
Now it's time for the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts. Coors, cold as the Rockies.
All right, Spencer, shoot us straight here. Why does the Texans offense struggle to move the ball against that Ravens defense?
Oh, Greg, you know it's so cliche, but it's true. You know, big games tend to be lost, not won. And let's start right now. Plenty of blame to go around on the offensive line. Here's Derek Newton here in his tackle spot. Terrell Suggs down in a four-point stand. I'm going to put this in motion, and I want you to watch what happens when we get him put on what we call an island. The ball's in motion. Once it's snapped, once he goes upfield, look at where he is right now. Look at the island. The space for Suggs to go is here, or he can go here. Eventually, when I clear this out, you'll see the feet come together for Newton. He is losing his base at that particular point in time. When he loses his base, he has no ability to defend and stop the guy from getting inside. And the spin move, inside, he gets to the quarterback, and that pressure was there early and often all day. But again, as I said, there's plenty of blame to go around. Matt Schaub had a very difficult time, some poor reads right here. Here's an example of a poor read. This inside linebacker has studied tape, and he knows they like to run this little arrow route here or Texas route and come back underneath it. When I put it in motion, you're going to see Matt eyeball number 81, Owen Daniels here as he comes back. But that linebacker has got his eyes set on it, and he jumps the route. I'd like to think there's an alternative that you can do here. When you see him bite, if you're Owen Daniels, take it over the top, because this route is moving him out, and you're clearing him out here. Take it over the top of him and have that option. But that's something the Texans have got to work out. If you don't, this happens right here. Watch the play. He jumps it, sits on it, and all of a sudden you're headed. It's a pick six, and you're in a very difficult situation. So, again, plenty of blame to go around, not just the offensive line. The quarterback has to bear some of that as well. And, again, let's go back to the offensive line here. Go way up here, and this is Wade Smith. He's working here in tandem with Chris Myers. I'm just going to put it in motion and let this thing go for you. You can see that they double-team this and tag it, but he comes off of it and gets turned sideways, and all of a sudden, he's in the backfield and making another play on your quarterback. So, again, a lot of blame to go around, a lot of skill, a lot of passion that comes to bear, but passion and skill is no substitute for making big plays when it matters most. Greg?
The Injury Report is brought to you by Houston Methodist, the official healthcare provider of the Houston Texans.
Andre Johnson took the shot to the knee and the shin, did not return. We will know more about his status coming up tomorrow. Dwayne Brown didn't travel with the sprained toe. Ed Reed, Wade Smith, and Garrett Graham did play despite some limited practice time. You can always get more injury information at HoustonTexans.com. We'll look ahead to another rough test against the unbeaten Seattle Seahawks when Inside the Game continues.
Inside the Game has been brought to you by your local Ford dealers, official trucks of the Houston Texans, and by Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network.
All right, Spence, doesn't get any easier next Sunday. The good news for the Texans is you don't have to go to Seattle to face the Seahawks.
Yeah, but Greg, I don't think it matters where you play. And Russell Wilson today in 2.5 quarters set a career high, 4 touchdown passes today. We know about their defense. He's got Rice and all those receivers to throw to. They're going to be tough no matter where you're playing.
And they're going to come up and get in your face.
Yes, sir.
Those quarterbacks are really, really good. All right, we'll be back next Sunday. Complete breakdown, Texans and the Seahawks. We look forward to that. Don't forget, tomorrow morning at 8, Matt Schaub visits the game on Texans Radio, Houston Radio 610. For David Nuno, Spencer Tillman, I'm Greg Bailey. Have a great night.